right. Ever wish you could, like, fast forward through centuries of, you know, heavy theological thought and just grasp the main points?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what we're aiming for today. We're diving into a university course syllabus, The Reformation to the Present, taught by Dr. Roger Green.
A syllabus.
Yeah. Think of it less like dry academia, more like uncovering the DNA of how Christian beliefs evolved and, you know, why they still matter today.
I like that. We get a glimpse into how a scholar, like, maps out this huge period of, you know, church history.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, Dr. Green kind of sets the scene. You know, first day of class vibes, he's going through what the semester will look like. He even mentions, oh, I just had eye surgery, so my reading glasses are a bit off for the first month.
Humanizes it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Makes it feel real, you know? Like, even these big-time academics are just people, too.
Exactly. So our mission, if you will, is to sift through this syllabus and, like, pull out the golden nuggets for you.
Yeah.
What are the big questions, the recurring themes? What should someone who's interested in this really pay attention to?
Makes sense.
All right, let's dive in. So first off, what's the fundamental goal of this course, as Dr. Green lays it out?
He's really aiming to help students understand the, like, essence and the evolution of the core beliefs within, you know, the historical Christian community. So it's about understanding those central theological affirmations, the things that have defined, like, Orthodox Christian faith throughout the century.
The bedrock.
Right. But it's also about understanding, you know, where and why different Christian traditions have kind of veered off from those central beliefs.
So not just a history of agreement, but a history of the debates, too, and the reasons for the different paths taken.
Exactly. Dr. Green really emphasizes that the course will be looking at both, like, the points where everyone agrees and the issues that have led to those huge divisions within Christianity. Yeah. It's acknowledging both the unity and those times when things, you know, fractured.
And it sounds like this course really sees history and theology as intertwined.
Totally inseparable. He makes it clear that historical events, both within the church and in the wider world, right, have shaped how Christian doctrines, you know, the actual beliefs, were formed. And he even starts by grounding it in, you know, that moment from Matthew 16, where Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? And you see right from the beginning, you've got Christian belief rooted in a historical moment, a specific context. And that sets the stage for how theological reflection, you know, those deeper thoughts about faith, they arise from trying to answer those really basic questions in different times and places.
Now, he mentions this course kind of builds on a previous one about those early church creeds.
Mm-hmm.
How does this one take it a step further?
So while this course will acknowledge those, you know, foundational creeds, the focus here is really on how doctrine developed after the 16th century, which is a period marked by way more diversity in Christian expression than, you know, the earlier church. So while the first course might have looked at a more unified theological landscape, this one dives into an era where things really branched out and you see distinct traditions emerging.
Gotcha. And it seems like the Protestant tradition will be the main lens through which all this diversity is explored.
That's right. Dr. Green says that the course primarily examines the Protestant tradition, and he highlights how it's characterized by this constant reinterpreting of scripture, reacting to, you know, existing traditions, and even experiencing periods of revival.
Revival.
But all within, you know, this continuity of faith. But it's not just Protestantism. It's important to note that the course will also delve into Roman Catholic thought and touch on some aspects of the Eastern Orthodox tradition. So it's a broader perspective.
He makes a really interesting point about theology being, you know, inherently linked to the Bible itself.
Oh, yeah. This is crucial. He explains that theology isn't some abstract, you know, system created separately from scripture. He actually uses that Matthew 16 example, you know, when Jesus asks who he is. That question, it's a theological question. And Peter's answer, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's like a foundational theological statement.
It is, yeah.
It is, almost like an early creed. And from there, it naturally leads to, okay, but what does that really mean?
Exactly.
What are the implications? So this course, he suggests, is going to explore how these, you know, initial biblical seeds of understanding, they grow and develop into the complex theological structures that we see over time.
And Protestant approach to this development is seen as ongoing.
Yeah.
Right? Not something that was just settled centuries ago.
Exactly. It's not static. Dr. Green emphasizes that Protestant theology, you know, it's not just a fixed set of doctrines handed down. Mm. Instead, it requires this constant interpretation and re-engagement in every generation. It's like a living thing, you know? It has to be revisited and reapplied in new contexts and for the people of today.
Always evolving. All right. We've got the overarching goals, but what are the nuts and bolts? What will be the focus?
He boils it down to three core interconnected elements: important people, significant ideas, and those pivotal events that shake things up.
Okay, I like that.
And he stresses that to really get church history, you got to examine how these three things are constantly interacting and influencing each other.
He uses Martin Luther and the Reformation as an example of this, right?
Yeah, like think about it. You have Luther, this key individual who has these, you know, groundbreaking ideas about justification by faith. Then you've got the actual events, his actions, like nailing those 95 theses to the church door, which ignited the Reformation.
Right, right.
So it's Luther's convictions, his actions within that specific time, and those powerful ideas he's spreading. All of that together led to this seismic shift in church history.
Huge.
Huge. And that's the type of dynamic the course will explore over the centuries.
So we see the Reformation is going to be a central theme. And it's interesting, he mentions that it was approached through Luther in a previous course, and now it's Calvin's turn. Why this two-part approach?
Because, you know, the Reformation is like the foundation for understanding where Christian thought went in this whole era that the course covers.
It's the starting point.
It is. And Dr. Green explains that students who take both courses, they get a much deeper, more nuanced view by examining it through both Luther and Calvin. Like, Luther's challenge was the spark, but this course will focus more on how the Reformation developed theologically through Calvin.
Okay, so let's get into the books. What are the required readings? What's essential here?
There are four main texts. First up is Donald Dayton's Discovering an Evangelical Heritage.
Right.
And this one digs into 19th century evangelicalism in America, but with a special focus on its commitment to, you know, social justice and ministry, which is often overlooked. What's really interesting is that Dayton kind of challenges modern day evangelicals, asking if they've kept up that same focus on social action.
Yeah, it's a good question.
It is. Really thought-provoking, and it comes towards the end of the course.
Good stuff. And what about the second one?
That's the Dillenberger and Welch book. Dr. Green calls it the primary text, the one that really provides the core narrative, the analysis of those key people, ideas, and events from the 16th century to now. He sees it as the, you know, the heart of the matter for understanding this whole sweep of history.
Makes sense. What about Mark Knoll's book?
Ah, that's Turning Points, Decisive Moments in the History of Christianity. And the title itself is pretty self-explanatory.
It is, yeah.
It highlights those critical moments that really shape the direction of Christian history. For this course, the readings will come from the second half of the book, focusing on the post-Reformation period. And as a bonus, Mark Knoll himself will be giving a lecture on campus during the semester.
Wow, that's awesome.
Right. Direct access to the author's insights.
Absolutely. And the last book.
The last one is Randall Zachman's John Calvin's Teacher, Pastor, Theologian. Dr. Green recommends this one as an excellent in-depth study of Calvin. And to help students navigate it, he's included a detailed study sheet in the syllabus in Appendix 2 on page 11.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. This sheet guides them to key areas in the book, how Calvin's institutes developed, important theological terms he used, significant places like Geneva and Strasbourg that shaped his ministry, and even a list of people who influenced him. It's like a roadmap for tackling Calvin's, you know, sometimes dense thought.
A Calvin decoder ring.
All right, beyond the books, what are the main course requirements? What should someone interested in this know about?
Well, there are three big exams spread throughout the semester. Yeah. One at the end of September, another at the end of October, and the final one in mid-December. Dr. Green emphasizes that it's important to take them on schedule, and he's got a specific policy for makeup exams, but only in, you know, real emergency situations.
So no skipping out on test day.
Not unless you've got a good reason.
And it's clear that engaging with the reading is paramount. Oh, absolutely. He stresses that students are expected to not only read the assigned chapters, but also, this is key, read and understand the biblical passages that are mentioned in those texts, paying attention to their original context. He even tells them to keep a Bible handy while studying.
So it's not just about absorbing the textbook.
Nope, it's about going deeper, understanding the scriptural basis for the ideas being discussed.
Now, there's mention of a term paper. Is that a must-do?
It's actually optional, but it's the key to getting an A or A in the course. Without it, the highest you can get is a B plus.
Interesting. So it's like a bonus level.
Kind of. Dr. Green lays out very specific guidelines for the paper. minimum 10 pages, double space, 10-point font, at least 8 sources properly cited using endnotes. And he'll be grading on both the research and argumentation, you know, the content and how well it's written, the form. But there's a twist. He also wants students to connect their research to their own reflections on, you know, how these ideas play out in Christian experience today.
So applying it to the present.
Exactly. He wants them to make those connections, to think about the relevance of these historical debates for the modern church.
I like that. What are the topic options?
He gives 4 choices. Martin Luther and the sacraments, developments in Roman Catholic theology in the 19th century, Karl Barth's doctrine of election, and women in leadership in the church since the Reformation. Pretty diverse.
It is. And he's even open to looking at early drafts.
Oh, yeah. He encourages students to submit a first draft 2 weeks before the deadline so he can read it and give feedback. Really helpful for those aiming for that A.
Now, what about those discussion groups mentioned?
So these happen on a few Fridays throughout the semester leading up to each exam. They're held in a more informal setting called the Lion's Den, which is off campus.
Sounds cozy.
Right. And Dr. Green expects everyone to come ready to discuss, bringing 2 or 3 thoughtful questions or observations based on the readings. Those questions have to be submitted online by the Wednesday before.
So participation is key.
It's not just encouraged. It's actually 10% of the final grade. And missing one without a valid excuse counts as 2 unexcused absences from class. Dr. Green also mentions that since it's a smaller class, he expects everyone to chime in, so no need to call on people.
Everyone gets a chance to share. All right, last but not least, what's the attendance policy?
Well, Dr. Green's pretty clear. Regular attendance is important. He states that more than 4 unexcused absences might hurt your grade, with a point deducted for each one after that.
So show up.
And remember, missing a discussion group counts as 2 unexcused absences.
Double whammy.
He does have a policy for excused absences if you've got, you know, official school stuff, but you have to clear it with him in the first 2 weeks.
Makes sense. So the syllabus lays out a clear path for the course.
Mm-hmm.
What about the lectures themselves? Any extra resources students can use?
The lectures follow a specific order, each with a title and a number, and the syllabus actually has a detailed outline starting on page 12. He even suggests having it open during lectures to help stay on track. And he clarifies that the suggested readings listed throughout the syllabus, they're just for those who want to dive deeper, not required to pass the course.
Bonus material.
Exactly. And he's got some cool stuff planned outside of class, too. There's an assignment where students have to attend 2 lectures during a conference on Protestantism happening on campus in November.
Cool.
It's a way to catch up on any missed classes, but also a chance to hear from big names in the field, including, you know, Mark Knoll again.
Oh, that's awesome.
Plus, they'll be watching videos about Dietrich Bonhoeffer on 2 class days in December. Really valuable for understanding his life and work.
Visual learning. And it looks like the syllabus is very specific about what material will be on each exam.
Oh, absolutely. Each exam date lists the exact lectures and readings that'll be covered. No surprises.
Nice. Anything else?
One last thing. There is an article called The Intellectual Appeal of the Reformation that'll be handed out and discussed in one of those Friday discussion groups.
Okay, so we've really dissected this syllabus. What are the key takeaways for you, the listener, about this course?
Well, what's impressive is how intentionally Dr. Green has structured this course. You get a clear path for exploring how Christian thought evolved from the Reformation to today, with a big focus on understanding the impact of historical events, key theological ideas, and those influential figures who shaped it all, especially Calvin. And he's given students a whole toolbox, the carefully chosen books, the in-depth Calvin study guide, and the lecture outlines.
Everything they need.
Yeah. Plus, he's built in those active learning parts, the discussion groups, and the option to really dig deep with the term paper. It's not just about passively taking in information. It's about actively engaging with these ideas and why they still matter today.
It sounds like there's some big aha moments waiting to be discovered as you start connecting these historical dots with how Christian faith is lived out in the world right now.
It makes you think.
It does. So here's a final thought for you to chew on. Remember how Protestant thought emphasizes that we need to keep reinterpreting theology for each new generation?
Yeah.
How do you think the core beliefs of Christianity could be understood and applied in our rapidly changing world today? Especially when you consider all those historical patterns of reinterpretation, reaction, and revival that this syllabus lays out. It's a big question, but one that understanding this historical journey can really help us answer.
That's the $1 million question. And knowing how theological ideas have been debated, adapted, even radically rethought over time, that gives us a framework for tackling the questions and challenges facing faith today.
And that's what makes this stuff so relevant. Well, there you have it, folks, our deep dive into Dr. Green's syllabus. Thanks for joining us as we explore this fascinating journey through Christian theology. We hope it's given you a fresh perspective and a starting point for your own explorations.
Definitely. There's so much to discover here.
Absolutely.